Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shiny sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-wah! I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. You know, in a reasonable world, Kefir Bibas would be the most famous baby in the world, if he's still alive. The red-haired boy was 9 months old when he was kidnapped by the Hamas Gaza terrorists from that concert on October 7th last year. His parents and his four-year-old brother were taken too. He celebrated his first birthday, if he's still alive, on January 18th. He is, or was, the youngest hostage taken that day. I could understand if all the rioters on our elite colleges' campuses were standing up for him, but in support of the terrorists? It's pretty clear what values are being taught at our elite colleges, isn't it? I wonder how one goes about defunding them. We sure could use the money to help our homeless vets, and our nation would be a lot better off. Okay, joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is Marine vet Skip Coriel. What's the funniest thing you've seen lately, Skip?
Colonel, it's odd that you would ask that question today, because the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life, I saw just this morning. I got up, got out of bed, went into the bathroom, and I looked into the mirror.
That would have scared me.
Oh, it was funny. You don't even want to see me in the morning. It's like, my hair looks like the Statue of Liberty, you know, spiking up all over the place. But I still have hair, so I'm thankful for that, you know.
And spiky hair is in now. That makes you young.
Yes, but mine's not purple. It's gray.
Okay, here's what we have for you today. On News and Comments by the Colonel, I'm going to discuss the pro-dictatorship and pro-terrorism riots at our college campuses. Then Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby will contribute his warrant wisdom. Businessman and Vietnam vet Bob Parsons will then share his story and his book. Skip and I will discuss the mess that's going on in our college campuses. And Teresa Robinson will introduce us to another female veteran.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We really welcome your input to the show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or my Facebook. And now it's time for news and comments by the Colonel on Frontlines of Freedom. We'll start with the news. Take us there, Skip.
Well, Colonel, Israel's military intelligence chief announced his resignation over failing to prevent Hamas' October 7 cross-border raid that left 1,200 people in Israel dead and over 250 others taken hostage. Major General Aaron Haliva is the first senior Israeli leader to resign over the attack. The news came as Israel maintains it will advance a full-scale invasion of Gaza's southern border city of Rafah, where more than 1 million Palestinians are sheltering. Meanwhile, a report found facilities for the UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees have at times been used for political or military gains, but that Israel has not provided evidence supporting its claims that 12% of the agency's 13,000 staffers are members of Hamas or other militant groups.
Yes, it's clear that Israel's intel people dropped the ball here, but it's also clear that UN people and facilities have been and are being used by Hamas.
And Ukraine continues to see an international windfall following our passage of a significant aid bill as the United Kingdom follows suit with a pledge of its single largest military aid package. Quote, defending Ukraine against Russia's brutal ambitions is vital for our security and for all of Europe, British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak said during a visit to Poland. Quote, if Putin is allowed to succeed in this war of aggression, he will not stop at the Polish border, unquote. Sunak's pledge of $620 million to Ukraine bolsters an already substantial $3.1 billion allocated for this financial year. The funds will mainly go toward producing drones made in the UK and scaling up domestic defense supply chains.
Way to go, UK. Now the rest of Europe needs to greatly increase their support for Ukraine.
And our military could seek to formally punish service members for refusing to use another service member's preferred pronouns under existing policy. A 2020 equal opportunity law opened the door for commanders to subject someone who refuses to affirm a transgender service member's so-called gender identity to the Uniform Code of Military Justice for charges relating to harassment, according to Captain Thomas Wheatley, an assistant professor at West Point. Such a move would likely infringe on a service member's constitutional rights to uphold their conscience, but it might not prevent leaders from employing more subtle ways of disciplining service members. Military experts feel Congress should step in before it's too late. The military is right to want to protect the rights and welfare of transgender service members, but it owes the same protection to those who share a different perspective on the issue, especially when that perspective is a deep-seated expression of personal conscience, said Wheatley. None of the military's rules explicitly prohibit so-called misgendering when someone uses pronouns to describe a transgender person which do not correspond to the person's new gender identity, Wheatley explained. However, existing guidance implies that using pronouns rejected by another person violates military equal opportunity regulations against sex-based harassment and discrimination. The Uniform Code of Military Justice enforces those regulations. Have fun with that one, Colonel.
What a mess our military is. We need leaders who will refocus our military on winning wars and stop this woke foolishness. When is the last time military people didn't kid each other about all kinds of things?
Have you heard about the expanding influence of BRICS and its potential to overtake the U.S. and the dollar? Led by powerful nations like Russia and China, BRICS envisions a new global order, and the implications are not just on a geopolitical scale, but could directly impact each of us. Originally composed of Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, BRICS has doubled in size with new members, Egypt, Ethiopia, Iran, Saudi Arabia, and the United Arab Emirates, comprising nearly half of the world's population and 30% of the global economy. 30 more countries are lining up to join. Imagine a world where half of global transactions occur in the BRICS currency. The consequences could be dire for the U.S. A weakened dollar, soaring costs of imports, stock market crashes, and a fragile economy.
The nations that hate us are taking advantage of the terrible mess that our national government is. This movement could truly destroy our economy and hurt us defense-wise.
Papua New Guinea's Prime Minister James Marape accused President Biden of disparaging the South Pacific island nation by implying that an uncle of his had been eaten by cannibals there during World War II. Biden's comments offended a key strategic ally as China moved to increase its influence in the region. The president spoke at a Pennsylvania war memorial last month about his Army Air Corps aviator uncle, Second Lieutenant Ambrose Finnegan Jr., whom he said was shot down over Papua New Guinea, which was a theater of heavy fighting. Quote, "They never found the body because there were a lot of cannibals for real in that part of New Guinea," Biden said, referring to the country's main island. Marape said in a statement that Biden appeared to imply his uncle was eaten by cannibals.
How many times since he's been in office has our president said untrue things? Things ranging from discussing cannibals, where there were none, to saying that our southern border is secure. What a mess.
And Second Lieutenant Alma Cooper was recently named Miss Michigan USA and will go on to compete for Miss USA this summer. Cooper graduated from West Point in 2023 and is currently a Knight Hennessy Scholar completing a Master of Science degree in Statistics Data Science at Stanford University. She is the first active duty Army officer to compete in the Miss Michigan USA competition.
As a fellow West Pointer and a guy who lives in Michigan, I can't fail to cheer her on. Go Army!
And pro-Palestinian student protests spilled across the Ivy League as police arrested dozens at Yale. The gates to Harvard Yard were closed to the public, and Columbia shut down in-person classes for security reasons. The protests drew bipartisan fire from Congress and the White House, where they were condemned as anti-Semitic. Jewish representatives Josh Gothamer, Dan Goldman, and Jared Makowicz planned to walk with Jewish students and speak at Columbia, the center of the firestorm. Police arrested 100 students at Columbia last month, but said that the school wouldn't allow them on its campus, which is private property. At Yale, police arrested 45 protesters for blocking entry to Beneke Plaza in solidarity with Gaza.
How can anyone support Hamas, a terrorist group that runs Gaza, as a dictatorship? How can they do that? It's beyond me. We'll discuss this more later in the show. And that's the news. As Americans, it's our responsibility to ensure that our nation is well-run and on the right path. Politics and politicians are confusing. We can work together. Concerned Veterans for America can assist you, even if you're not a vet, in getting involved in getting our nation back on track. Working with them is one of the things I do. Check CVAfrontlines.com. That's CVAfrontlines.com. This is Colonel Denny Gillum coming up on Front Lines of Freedom. I'll share comments by the Colonel and we'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. Then we'll talk with Vietnam vet and businessman Bob Parsons. At ease, troops, take a break. In business for over 30 years with over $1 billion in sales, Universal Coin and Bullion is my go-to source for gold and silver coins. And right now, they're offering our listeners a newly minted 0.99 fine 1 ounce 2024 silver American Eagle coin for just $27. Call 800-UCB-GOLD, 800-UCB-GOLD, or go to their website at universalcoin.com/Denny.
This is Marine Vet Skip Correa with your home defense tip of the week. Always keep your guns locked up and safe from unauthorized users, especially your children. Inside your home, you should be able to get to your gun within 5 seconds of sensing danger. To accomplish this, stage a secure and loaded firearm on each level of your home. Above all else, never leave loaded guns unattended where children can gain access. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
HelpVet.net is a national help center helping the military community with all of your everyday needs. Whether you need a realtor, an attorney, health-related services, or information on retirement planning, financial resources, or more, our vast network of hand-picked qualified service providers are waiting to help you. With up-to-date military news and resources, you can find answers to all of your daily needs at HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net wants to thank you for your service, and may God continue to bless the U.S. of A.
Do you have a story inside you yearning to come out? As a self-published author, you are free to creatively distribute your book online or using your own professional connections. White Feather Press will publish your manuscript and set up online distribution, allowing the author to retain all copyright and distribution rights as well as all profits. Check out White Feather Press at publishyourdream.com. White Feather Press, reaffirming faith in God, family, and country.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. It is 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to the Front Lines of Freedom all across America. Troops, even if our economy wasn't a mess with inflation going up and prices going up out of sight, I'd still recommend that you do some investing in precious metals, gold and silver. I encourage you to join me in purchasing these solid investments from Universal Coin and Bullion. Find them at universalcoin.com/Denny. That's universalcoin.com/Denny. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. Well, the nation that we vets fought to defend is again demonstrating that our colleges and universities are run by people that don't love our country. Maybe it's time to consider the standards we set for college faculty and staff. When I was in Vietnam, the protests were against defending South Vietnam from communist control. The nice college-age kids would spit on we vets when we came home. Now, that never happened to me personally or anyone around me, maybe because I was 6'3 with a look on my face. It was those protesters who encouraged the North Vietnamese to continue fighting, even when we won every major battle. Yes, the communist victory was due to our protesters. So now we have students who think that terrorists are really good people, much better than a free democracy. Terrorists don't wear uniforms, so they can't be recognized. They do keep civilians around them so that when they're confronted, they can claim the dead civilians were the fault of the Israelis. Terrorists regularly set up their headquarters in hospitals and schools and mosques. Yes, so that when these places are ultimately attacked, the Israelis look bad. Oh, yes, and taking and abusing hostages. This includes sexual abuse. One wonders what goes on in the minds of people who don't condemn these activities. And as we discussed before on this show, the people of Gaza elected Hamas to rule them, and Gaza is now a dictatorship. You may remember that the people of Germany elected the Nazi Party to rule them. When World War II happened, those citizens logically found themselves targets, as they, as a part of their country, were legitimate targets. So the people of Gaza, who support, endorse, and cheer on terrorism, are the enemy. It's also worthy of note that the poor Gazans are totally ignored by the Muslim nations around them. They are not welcome as refugees. The situation is unique in the history of our world. While Palestinians was the name originally given to Jews, it's now the Muslims whose families used to live in what is now Israel and could not immigrate anywhere else because no one anywhere would have them. And these people like killing Jews. So here's the latest pro-Palestinian, actually pro-terrorist, campus protests. Protest encampments are in place on over 40 college campuses across our nation and in Canada, including UCLA, Northwestern, George Washington, Harvard, Brown, UT Austin, University of Michigan, and MIT. The University of Southern California, where 93 people were arrested, said it canceled its graduation ceremony on May 10th, citing safety concerns. Columbia University has an ongoing discussion with student protesters, and we can't fail to mention the demonstrators waving Israeli flags gathered outside Columbia University and called for those taken hostage on October 7th to be brought home. At UCLA, pro-Israel protesters clashed with pro-Palestinian protesters. Over 100 people were arrested after a pro-Palestinian protest broke out at Emerson College. Boston police said 108 people were arrested with 4 injuries among police officers. The demonstrators will be arraigned in a Boston municipal court. Emerson College canceled classes. Pro-Palestinian encampments have popped up at schools around the country as activists demand their institutions call for a ceasefire in Gaza and divest their endowments from companies working with Israel. It's worthy of note that most of these encampments have tents that all look alike, and most of the protesters have signs and banners that look alike and look good and were professionally made. I think it's safe to say that these have been provided by a well-endowed sponsor of terrorism, or sponsor of some sort, you know, much like the BLM riots were. At the University of Texas in Austin, police arrested over 50 protesters. Students and faculty from colleges and universities around the D.C. area launched a combined demonstration at the George Washington University campus, continuing national protests against the Biden administration's response to the Israel-Hamas war. Hundreds of protesters, including some university faculty, have erected tents at the center of George Washington University's campus. The engagement follows a similar strategy to Columbia University protests, which sparked a national movement. In addition to ending Biden's arms sales to Israel and seeking a ceasefire in the war, protest organizers have also demanded universities stop investments in weapons manufacturers and companies that may profit from the conflict. The coalition of students and faculty includes representation from Georgetown University, American University, George Mason University, University of Maryland, the University of Maryland in Baltimore County, Howard University, and Gallaudet University. Quote, as our people discover mass graves of our martyrs in Gaza, it's our moral imperative to disrupt business as usual for an end to the institutional cooperation in genocide, end quote, organizers wrote, referring to the discovery of multiple mass graves at Gaza hospitals. George Washington University administrators said that the demonstration is peaceful, but called on protesters to move to other parts of the campus. Further, non-GWU students were not allowed on campus for demonstrations, and the protest must stop by 7 p.m. About 30 Georgetown faculty members joined a march of over 100 students to the GWU protests. Protesters prepared tents and sleeping bags, setting up a conflict with university administrators and the D.C. police over the 7 p.m. deadline to disperse. And many of the protesters are not students, but people who were called to come in. We do need to know who is funding all these tents and signs and banners that just show up. Then we need to know who's teaching that terrorism and dictatorships are good and that democracy's defending their citizens is bad. The behind-the-scenes organizers clearly hate America. And those are my comments for today. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. You're listening to Front Lines of Freedom. Now we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have this week, Roland?
Well, Colonel, for the first time since 1958, the Air Force is opening up the warrant officer rank. The Air Force eliminated warrant officers in 1958 when they created the new E8 and E9 Senior Master Sergeant and Chief Master Sergeant ranks. Warrant officers generally fill a technical role rather than a leadership role, and the Air Force and the Space Force are the only military services that currently do not have warrant officers. But now the Air Force wants to bring them back, because they want to maintain expertise in the fast-moving technical fields of IT and cybersecurity. The Assistant Secretary of Air Force for Manpower and Reserve Affairs has said that with perishable skills like cyber and IT, where technology is moving so rapidly, folks who are now experts can't afford to be sent off to a leadership course for 8 or 9 months. In addition, time spent in mandatory leadership roles can hurt retention. In fact, the Air Force has lost about 100 airmen to other services so they could become warrant officers in IT and cybersecurity. So interested airmen can apply to become warrant officers in both the cybersecurity and information technology fields until May 31st. Then there'll be a selection board from June 24th to 28th, and they're going to pick 60 candidates for the 8-week warrant officer training school that's going to be at Maxwell Air Force Base in Alabama. You know, the Department of Defense currently has 5 different warrant officer ranks. The Army generally starts with W-1, or what they call warrant officer, for all new recruits. However, the Coast Guard and the Navy generally start at W-2, or chief warrant officer, because you have to be at least an E-7, or at least above the E-7 cut, to apply for warrant officers. Now, the Air Force rank insignia for officers is going to look very similar to those that's used by the Army, which is very different than the ones that the Navy and the Coast Guard uses. You know, the reintroduction of warrant officers by the Air Force is a major change to the way it has been doing business for the past 60 years. Who knows? This just might be the start of the Air Force expanding warrant officer specialties in other fields in the near future. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Thank you, Roland. I'm really glad you're on the team. I appreciate you. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll meet Vietnam vet and businessman Bob Parsons. Then we'll talk with General Mike Flynn. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. You're standing tall with Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for some wind sprints. Do them for a couple of miles, then stand at ease.
There's no doubt veterans sacrifice in service to this country. For decades now, troops have been sent around the globe to fight, putting their lives on the line, but with no clear U.S. interest to protect.
To honor that sacrifice, Concerned Veterans for America is working to end our nation's endless wars. As veterans ourselves, we know a better foreign policy can make our troops and our country safer.
Learn more about how you can help by visiting cvafrontlines.com. That's cvafrontlines.com.
Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code. This is Colonel Danny Gillum. You're listening to the Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's an honor to welcome to the show a fellow veteran and a very successful businessman, Bob Parsons. He had a pretty tough youth, joined the Marines, saw in combat in Vietnam. We're brothers there. Then came college and success. He's had a long, interesting, tough, successful life. Welcome, Bob.
Danny, glad to be here, pal.
Bob, start by telling us about your youth. How was it that you decided to join the Marines? Was that something you always wanted to do, or is that just something that you stumbled into?
Well, you know, it was something that I kind of stumbled into. I grew up in East Baltimore. Parents, you know, we didn't have any money. You know, they were gamblers, so any money that came into the house went right out on a number, on a horse, at a bingo hall, you name it. But that's just what they did. And, you know, even though, you know, we had absolutely nothing, I still love my parents. I mean, they did the best they could. And, you know, in school, I was a terrible student. I mean, terrible. I would barely pass each year. Every year was a photo finish. I failed the 5th grade. Nobody can take that away from me, Denny. And the rest of the years was a photo finish for me. When I was my senior year, I discovered the opposite sex and alcohol, and neither one really contributed to an excellent academic performance. So I was failing a number of my classes. I did not think I was going to graduate. And I had two buddies after gym one day say to me, "Hey, Bob, we're going to go talk to the Marine Corps recruiter down on Conklin Street. You want to go with us?" I said, "Absolutely." You know, because, you know, I'll tell you, Danny, I was ready for a change. And so we went there. All three of us joined. Since I was only 17, and my mother had to sign for me, which she did. And that got me in. So, you know, we went through boot camp in Parris Island. Then after Parris Island boot camp, we went to infantry training at Camp Lejeune. Then we came home on boot leave. My one buddy, Aggie Sirokas. You know, Baltimore's a tough town. He was sadly, he was stabbed to death on boot leave. So he didn't make it to Vietnam. And so my buddy, Charlie Mason, and I, you know, we after boot leave, we went to Camp Pendleton, advanced infantry training, where they had us running up and down mountains. And then we went to Vietnam. And Charlie went to 1st Marines, and I went to the 26th Marines. And Charlie got wounded. He lost three of his limbs. Now he lives in South Carolina, right down by the Georgia border. And he's just one of the happiest guys you'd ever want to meet. So God bless him. I love him to death. And then, you know, I was in combat for a month, and I was wounded. And then I went to the Naval Hospital in Japan for a couple of months. And after I healed up, I got orders right back to the bush. And so I went back and finished my tour. And when I went back, I lucked out and got a different job. I wasn't in combat anymore. And finished my tour, and then I came home. So that's pretty much it.
So when you got in the Marines, did you appreciate the structure and the function and the focus, or was that a pain you had to put up with?
I mean, at 17 and 18, you're not the most rational beast on a planet.
I remember that.
So,
yeah.
So you know, you normally it's stuff you put up with, but some of the stuff, you know, I really took a liking to, and I can tell you to this day that everything I've ever accomplished, I owe to the United States Marine Corps. They taught me responsibility is sacred. They taught me that discipline is key. Discipline, not in the form of punishment, although there was plenty of that, but discipline in the form of, you know, you got a job to do, you do it. You don't have to like doing it. You don't have to want to do it. It doesn't have to be convenient to do it. You do it. And you do it no matter what. You do it to the best of your ability. And, you know, that made a big difference for me. And then they taught me that I could accomplish far more than I ever dreamed that I could, and that I had a right to be proud. And so those are the things that made the difference for me.
I understand that. But the Army helped me get my sense of values. They were there, but they helped me get them in order and put them together. Well, I went to West Point, and therefore duty, honor, country really helped me structure things and helped me get my, know I had to control my life. Then also the Army taught me that I could push my body a lot harder than I thought I could. But those two things have structured who I am through my whole life. I'm not sure I can tie one to one to everywhere, but that's who made me that I am and helped me grow. So I understand.
Well, you know, I can understand that and appreciate that. And Semper Fi, brother.
Hey, you know, it's amazing. And 2 years of getting shot at wasn't a lot of fun. And it's not something I want to do again, but I would if I was called on, if I was necessary. At my age, though, I think the only reason they'd send me overseas is if we were invaded. But I am a combat guy, and I'm proud of it. This is Colonel Denny Gilliam on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Bob Parsons. Bob, so when you got out of the Marines, you came out with a plan to take control of your life and head for success. Talk about that.
Well, when I came out of the Marines, Denny, I don't know that I had much of a plan. First couple years, I was first, you know, the first week or two, you know how that goes. Vietnam. Yeah, you know, I spent a lot of my time with a bottle of whiskey and my buddies bouncing around. And then I got a job in a steel mill working as a laborer. And I said, man, there is no way I can continue with this. So I went to college at the University of Baltimore. They had a deal for veterans. And The deal was that, you know, your high school grades didn't matter as long as you graduated or had a GED, and I was good there. And no entrance exams. You know, you just had to, you know, go on the GI Bill, show up with a check, which I did. And I wound up studying accounting, literally, because it was the first major in the book. And it turned out to be a fortuitous choice because, you know, I liked it. And so I graduated magna cum laude, and I took the CPA exam, passed it the first time. I'd have never done any of that without the, you know, everything I'd learned in my training in the Marine Corps. But because I did, you know, I was able to accomplish that. And they were right. I could have accomplished way more than I ever dreamed I could when I was, and as I was working as an accountant in 1975. I was sent to Redwood City, California to visit this automobile leasing company to schedule their assets because my company wanted to buy it. And after I finished up, I had one of those pivotal moments in my life where I went over to the, found myself on a Stanford campus, went over to the bookstore and bought a book on programming in the basic computer language. And I read it while I was waiting a lot of it and understood it. And on the flight back, I wrote a couple of programs. And when I got back, you know, another fluke was my company was owned by Control Data, one of the first computer companies. And we had a dumb terminal in my office. And the terminal just happened to run the basic computer language. And so I got my programs working. And I polished my knowledge of that language. And I wrote a number of programs that would do things that, you know, that made my job a little easier. And I would help other people, too, with theirs. And then I took a job in Missouri, bought an Apple IIc computer, learned the Pascal language. And then I took a job in Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
We'll have to talk about that in a minute because we just ran out of time. So there's more to discuss about Bob's story. He's going to stay with us and tell us the rest of it. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Yeah, it's push-up time. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do, well, sometimes every week. Then take a break, but stay in the area. We'll be right back. When considering precious metals investments, credibility is paramount. That's why I chose Universal Coin and Bullion. They have a long-standing reputation in the industry that instills confidence in investors. Plus, the company's president, Dr. Mike Fulgens, is recognized as America's gold expert by his peers and the U.S. government, and was named Dealer of the Year by the American Numismatic Association. Call 800-UCB-GOLD or go to their website at universalcoin.com/Denny.
Friends, Adam here, Patriot Foods, U.S.-only company. Frozen fruits and vegetables straight from our dirt, not overseas. Support the U.S. farmer. When you shop at patriotfoods.com, we give back to a military family in need. We got to take care of each other, my friends. We have to. So important. 10% off patriotfoods.com. 10% off, promo code FREEDOM, and shop today.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Frontlines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with Vietnam vet and businessman Bob Parsons. Okay, Bob, you were becoming a computer geek, and opportunities started showing up, or at least you found ways to grab things.
So anyhow, I bought an IBM PC and sold the Apple, and I started working on a home counting program, and the thing really worked out well. And I took my accounting program and started a business in my basement in 1984. And first year, you know, I lost my total savings of $15,000, and the second year, I had my tax loss from that. I had, I think six, $5,000-$6,000. I had my real job. I had a bonus, I lost $25,000, lost it all. And the third year, I figured out how to sell software, and I made $256,000. And I never had that kind of money in my whole life, Denny. So I quit my day job, and started running my business out of the basement. Then I moved into some real offices, and it turned out pretty good. Second year, I made $2.5 million. Third year, $5 million. Eventually, sold the company 10 years. If 10 years after I started it, for $64 million, and worked out well, and that was my start.
That's not a bad start.
It's a good start.
Considering that you had to move yourself, you knew you weren't going to be able to do it where you found yourself when you got out of the Marines. You had to do something, and you had to take charge of you and make something happen. And that's sort of the secret to life, isn't it?
Absolutely. If you don't make it happen, it ain't going to happen. And it's just another one of those things the Marine Corps taught me. I can accomplish far more than I ever dreamed I could. And I did. And I never in my life imagined that I'd be a billionaire one day. I always thought I'd be successful, but it just happened. And it happened one step at a time, one little improvement at a time. It was like you eat an elephant one bite at a time, Denny.
Yeah. But you can't decide you're full of eating elephant. You've got to keep doing it. And it's that self-discipline that makes you keep producing, right?
Oh, well, absolutely. And then you see, one of the things that I did is, as I had a success, as I had saved money in my job and I had a secure job, I started this business, and then, took the risk of pushing that till it became something. And, just like when you're in the heat of a battle, it's impossible to know who's winning and who isn't, but when you're in the heat of starting a business, it's impossible to know if it's going to eventually be successful or not. You just got to keep pushing. And, so that's what I did. And eventually, they all turned successful. GoDaddy, of most of note, but, I have 14 other businesses that I now run. I started after GoDaddy. My other businesses are motorcycles. I own 8 motorcycle dealerships. I own a golf equipment company, PXG. I own a golf course. I own a whole string of shopping malls. I own a hedge fund. And a most notable, most fun, I have a charity that I love. A foundation. It's a Bob and Renee Parsons Foundation. We move $1 million to charity every other week. About 26 million a year is what it totals.
What does that charity do?
Well, it, what we do is we support other foundations and charities that are on the ground operating that are making a difference. The largest of which is formerly the Semper Fi Fund. Now it's called the Fund, and it's for injured military. They're wonderful. We give them $12 million a year. Matter of fact, this year we're going to have a little celebration because our total giving to them will exceed $100 million. And Danny, I don't know about you, buddy, but I think $100 million is a stack of cash.
It is. And, there's two things. One, I think at some future point I'd like to interview you and somebody from the Semper Fi Fund on this show to talk about what they do and how they do it and how people can plug in if they need to. But two, you made the point that the first three or four times you stepped up to do something, you failed, but you didn't give up. That's a fairly normal thing with people I know that have been successful in business. Have you found that to be true?
Well, I found that to be universally true. And it is the rare business that comes out of the gate successful and is successful along the way. Sometimes it happens, you know, if you laid up a new technology or something, but, you know, most people are not going to be that fortunate in, you know, what business they start. There's going to be sharp competition. And what you have to do is you have to find a way where you're going to you get around or be better than your competition. And, you know, nothing teaches you that lesson more than the military.
Yes, sir. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Bob Parsons. Bob, I really enjoyed your book. It's about your life. And I really appreciated the title, Fire in the Hole. I used that term a number of times back in Vietnam. Am I safe to say that we've covered a good part of your life, what's covered in the book in our talk today?
Well, I'd say every part of it pretty much has been covered. Yeah, most of it.
That fire in the hole, that's a special meaning to people who have been in the military, particularly in combat. Basically, it means there's going to be a big boom really, really soon. And the book is that. It really is. How can listeners buy a copy, get a copy?
Well, the book goes on sale May 7th. It should be available at most booksellers. It's available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and, you know, and other online booksellers. And it is, the book is literally for everybody, Danny. I mean, it is a good read. It's a fun read. The chapters are all incredibly short, but they're all right to the point. It is at times very touching. It is at times a bit of a tearjerker, and more often than not, it's outrageous and hilarious. It's raw. I tell it like it is. You know the old saying. I tell it. You know how the cow ate the cabbage. And
Yes, you did. Having read the book, I'll say that you have described that gently and very accurately.
Well, thank you, brother.
So May 7th is when it's out. Amazon and those places, I presume, will have it.
Yeah, and all those places, you can pre-order it, and then you'll be one of the first to get it.
So fire in the hole. And I'd like to tell some stories about when I used that, but that's another time. Bob, that was awesome. Any final comment you'd like to make before we call it a day?
No, just I'd like to say thank you and a message to all veterans everywhere and from those of us who served in the Vietnam War. And you too, Denny. Welcome home, baby. Welcome home.
Amen. Thank you, Bob, for your excellent comments, for your service to our nation, and for what you're doing now. You're a great veteran and a great role model to Americans, particularly those who want to succeed or young and can go forward. Thank you.
It's my pleasure.
This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour. Skip and I will discuss the college campus situation. Then Navy vet Teresa Robinson will introduce us to another female veteran. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag military history and our self-defense report. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom Troops. It's time for pull-ups. Do 40 good ones, and then maybe 20 more push-ups. Grab some protein, rehydrate with water, and finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.